Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell. Welcome you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life, the power of the risen Christ, and how, in fact, that power can invade every moment of our own human life. And today I want to remind you that this past Sunday, we celebrated Mercy Sunday. That's a fairly recent feast day, established by Pope St. Paul, John Paul II, in response to the growing influence of the revelations granted to Sister Faustina Kowalska in Poland in the early part of the 20th century. This establishment, then, of Mercy Sunday actually has a very profound background and tradition within sacred history. Now, St. Faustina had her visions just before the catastrophe that was World War II, a catastrophe that was to tear apart her country, which had become newly independent only in 1919. And I think that the revelations of divine mercy given through Sister Faustina were attractive to Pope John Paul II because of his own experience with in Poland in World War II, first with the Nazi regime and then with the communist control of Poland. And it was a realization that in the face of such evil and destruction, one needs the intervention of God for the restoration of the good. Now, of course, Sister Faustina's revelations tended to be directed specifically toward the conversion of mind and heart of individuals, a conversion that begins with the realization that in God there is always mercy. And you look back through scriptural history and you find that the mercy of God is a constant theme. In the Hebrew Bible, this was chesed, that is, a loving kindness of God. And this loving kindness, this mercy, was a constant theme of God's relationship with his people, even in the face of the faithfulness of his chosen ones, the faithlessness, rather, of his chosen ones. Now, we have to see mercy not only as an act of forgiveness, but mercy as a gift. It was through, in a sense, the mercy of God that we were brought into existence, given the gift of life, being rescued, as it were, from nothingness, and brought into existence and placed within that profoundly wonderful gift of God's creation. That was a mercy as well. And that mercy of God, his loving kindness, even though the sin of the people would often, as it was described by the scripture writers, lead to a punishment, a judgment on the part of God, he always remained faithful to his promises, and in his mercy brought about some surprising ways by which the people would be restored, by which their sins would be forgiven. I think of the fact that after 50 years of bitter exile in Babylonia, after the destruction of the kingdom of Judah and the city of Jerusalem, the person who allowed the Jews to return to the Holy Land was, in fact, a Persian king, Cyrus. In fact, the only person in the Old Testament to bear the title Messiah, or the Chosen Ones, because of that. And what could be more surprising to so many people? In the gift of Jesus Christ, born in a stable, in a faraway part of the Roman Empire, to a woman who had no great background, a was not of noble bearing, but who had a heart full of grace and who said yes to God. And that mercy, in the guise of that profound gift, is something that Saint Faustina grabbed hold of. But we have to be made aware of it. We have to turn. And that gift of mercy, the gift that can be expressed as just a gratuitous offering of God or the act of forgiveness, is a realization that justice, although we are called to preserve it and enhance it, justice has an end. Justice can only go so far. And I think in realizing why Jesus stressed so much the forgiveness of sins was the fact that perhaps justice, having an end, coming to a point beyond which it cannot reach, no longer serves the purpose of life. And it is in God, who is the God of life, that restoration is offered. Justice at one point may bring punishment, but can it bring restoration and renewal and a new beginning? Pope Benedict XVI wrote in his first encyclical, God is Love, that there is no society that is so just that it will not require the gift of love to persist. And that gift of love, so beautifully expressed in the mercy of God we know profoundly through Jesus Christ, that can be a way by which an entire society, as well as individuals within it, can be restored and can begin again to know the richness of life. And when you look at the quality of mercy, we have to realize that mercy can be asked for, but it cannot be demanded. But if it's asked for, in humility, it will be offered by God abundantly. For God is a God of life. There is a relationship within our own lives between justice and mercy. Justice needs to be done. But perhaps we have to realize that although justice can punish a wrong, but not necessarily offer a new beginning, mercy restores the character of life. But that mercy awakens a virtue that we often neglect, and that is the virtue of gratitude, of a simple thankfulness for the reception of a gift that we have not made, that we may not have deserved, that we could not expect, but it is given to us in the fullness of God's love. And that sense of gratitude, I think, begins an entirely new pattern for our lives. And in that knowledge, in that need for mercy, we acknowledge a responsibility for wrongdoing, and we are called to express deep sorrow for it. But in acknowledging that responsibility, and in that deep sorrow for what has been wrong, we realize there is still a profound hope that in expressing those realities, the mercy of God will fall on us like dew from above. But in thinking of mercy, we always have to avoid two particular faults. One is presumption. That is, a presumption that no matter what we do, God's always going to forgive us. We don't have to take responsibility for it. So we can just live the life that we want to, making the choices that present themselves to us immediately. But God will always forgive us. The other extreme is the sin of despair, a belief that what we have done was so heinous that God will never forgive it. And the first is an unwarranted expectation of forgiveness. The second is the lack of any expectation of forgiveness. Mercy intervenes. It is there for us. It is offered as a gift. Our Lord calls us to accept that gift. But I think as we continue our Easter celebration, think of the image and the message of the repentant thief on the cross next to our Lord Jesus Christ. He admitted that he was responsible for the wrong that he had done. He realized that the innocence of Jesus Christ on the cross was a source of profound renewal and hope. He reached out to grasp that hope in that simple prayer, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And in that moment, he found not only a new meaning to his own suffering, but attaching it to the suffering of Christ and the power of forgiveness that flows from that. In God's mercy, he became a companion to Jesus in the everlasting kingdom. We pray, God, that his mercy continue to flow freely among us. We pray, God, for that grace to be able to reach out to accept it by our desire for forgiveness. But in all things, we give thanks for what God has given us, for what he has offered to us, and the future he opens before us.